Of course, here at Fordham Church. And before that, I always thought I was a Christian, even though I didn't ever go to church or read the Bible. But I was a good person, and I tried to be nice and kind to everyone, and I thought that's what it was all about, and that good works would get me into heaven. And then I did the Christianity Explored course with my husband, and a group of people who are still at church today. Mm. And found out that I am a sinner, that every day I break the Lord's Ten Commandments, and that was a real shock to me, and was so relieved to hear about God's grace and about how we can have eternal life with him in heaven through having faith in what Jesus did by dying on the cross. Mm. And that just being ever thankful to have him in my life, and really decided from that point on to put my trust in him. Great. So here I am, 9 years later, still
fantastic.
Coming along to church and being part of our congregation and church family.
Great. And when you're going to keep Josh and Amber and Joseph on the straight and narrow, what other job do you do?
So you probably know, or some of you do, that I'm a midwife. No, I've got a little slide.
Oh, excellent. Okay, go for it.
Bringing newborn babies into the world and looking after women and looking after pregnant women and making sure that they deliver their babies safely and helping them to adapt to being new parents, weren't you then?
Yeah, go for it.
So that's a lovely job to have. But sometimes...
Go for it.
Okay. So I work at Ipswich Hospital, I work part-time, and it is a real joyful experience most of the time. And God has given me these great skills to be able to look after women and help them have their babies. Mm. But sometimes it can be really sad and it can be really emotional, because sometimes a lady might go and have a scan or a test, and she might find out that her unborn baby that she's carrying might be disabled, and she will then be offered, and she may choose to end that pregnancy. And it's my job to care for the women during that process. And if you don't know what that is, that's a word called abortion or termination, and it's pretty tough. And I always have to remain non-judgmental and not judge the women for the choices that they've made, because generally they are not committed to Christ, they're not saying that they are living for Christ. So that is my role, and it's quite hard sometimes to be able to do that. So I'm so pleased that I'm able to pray privately for those women that I'm looking after, and just pray for them that they might turn to God in this time of difficulty in their life, but also just to pray that God gives me strength to be able to look after them in a kind and caring way, because it's not a decision that I personally would choose, but I have to look after them because that's my job. So many Christians believe that this is wrong, that abortion is wrong, because God created us, each and every one of us individually, with our own personality. And to decide that you have to end that life is saying that people are in charge, not God. Other people argue that babies don't really have any rights, or that they don't live or exist until conception, or until their heart is beating on the scan, or until they're actually moving and growing. But God says in the Bible... I missed the slide.
So I keep going.
So that's the conception part. That is the heartbeat, the first heartbeat, and then the next one is the baby moving and wriggling in the mum's tummy. So some people argue that it might be okay at certain points of a pregnancy to end a baby's life at these times, because they don't believe that the babies really have any rights. They're not real people. But the Bible tells us different. Christians believe that God is in charge, and we see all sorts of evidence in the Bible. So right at the very beginning, we've got Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, created. This is our key word. We're going to watch all the rest of the quotes from the Bible for that special word, created. Ready? So further down in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 7, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. That's three times in one tiny verse. Are you getting the picture? God created us. Next one. In Psalm 51, surely I was sinful at birth from the time my mother conceived me. So that, remember that big picture of the egg that I've just showed you there, the conception. We all had our sinful hearts right even at that very time, that moment that God has planned for us. Next one. Psalm 139. This is really important. This is a really popular and brilliant quote from the Bible that is very comforting for us. And we read, look, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. And that applies to our whole human body. That's when we're really thinking and marvelling at the miracle of our human body, that we look at Psalm 139. And we'll look at that later on when we talk in our groups. Mm-hmm. But this is, can you see that special word again? It's created, it's still in there. Mm-hmm. Here we go again, there's another one, I think. So in Jeremiah, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Next one. Mm-hmm. And then in Ephesians, we read, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So God had this amazing, amazing plan for each and every one of us before we were even thought of. So before that first picture, before the mother conceived the baby in her womb, God already had a plan for us. But the world argues that point. It argues that point so that it can kind of soften the blow and say that ending an unborn baby's life is okay. So this is what we're going to think about today. So people who believe, and there are people who believe in something called pro-choice. You might have heard of it, you might not. And basically they ignore God's word in the Bible and they ignore his authority. And they believe that they're in charge of their lives and their bodies and their decisions and how they should live their lives. They're in charge. They don't acknowledge that an unborn baby is a valuable human being that God has planned. And some women, the pro-choice people, have taken it to such an extent that they believe so strongly that women are in charge of their own bodies, that women could end a baby's life without even telling the father of the baby. And that is just quite shocking, boys, mm-hmm. to think that you would have no say, no control, because it's the right of the woman and her body, not the right of the baby, and certainly not the right of the partner. So God gave us the Bible as an instruction manual of how to live for him at the centre of our lives. And if we ignore what the Bible says or pretend that it doesn't matter, we can find ourselves far from God. We can be hurt and be frightened and feel that we're all alone. Choosing to end the life of an unborn baby shouldn't be a quick or easy decision, but it's often based, women often base this decision on actual fear of the unknown. So they hear the words disability, or they hear and they just get terrified and think that it's out of their control. How on earth would they ever manage? And that it's a get out of jail card free, really. It's an option that they are offered freely by the hospital, and they think, well, let's go for it and wipe the slate clean. But really, usually, women spend the rest of their lives with regrets and wondering, what if? And generally, they would remember when the baby was due, and they would remember how old it would be. They don't get over it very easily, although it seems to be initially a quick decision at the time. Other people believe that God gives us free will. So there are some Christians who believe that we have free will. And that allows us to make choices with our bodies, and that's fine. But most of the time with our simple hearts, when we don't have God at the centre, we make the wrong choices. So whether you believe in abortion or not, it is still biblical to care for our bodies. So in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-20, we read, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not on your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body." So as Christians, we have a kind of a duty, really, to remember what Jesus has done for us and honour, use our bodies and our lives to honour God. However, it is encouraging to remember that even if you know someone who has struggled with this difficulty, who, or in the future when you grow up, who you may find people who have had an abortion, or you may consider it yourself, just please remember that if you're truly sorry, God is the most forgiving God, and He is merciful, and the forgiveness is there for you. It's yours for the asking. And there is no sin that God can't forgive. Remember, all sin is sin. And the Bible is clear that God will forgive sin, and He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for that sin. Mm-hmm. So in 1 John 1-9, it said, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And Isaiah, this is my favourite, it's chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they should be as white as snow." And isn't that really comforting that we can turn to God and be forgiven? So living as a Christian is really challenging. It's challenging for me at work. I know it's challenging for you at school. But please remember that praying to God to support you through tricky times and through tricky situations or conversations that you might have always brings peace in your heart.
We've wanted to build a case from the Bible to help us to see that God is our creator, that He knows us before we're born, that He understands when life begins and when it doesn't. And not only that, but because of Jesus, actually, not only has He created us, but that because of what He's done for us on the cross, we can be His again, and we can be His children. And that gives us a great assurance of forgiveness when we slide in all sorts of areas, not just this, but lots of other areas, that we can turn back to God for forgiveness. So we've wanted to kind of build a case for us to think through. And what we're going to do now is go into our groups, and we're going to look a little bit more at Psalm 139. Now, it might be that during what Ali has said, there might have been questions that you've come up in your minds, and you thought, well, what about this situation? Or what about this situation? What I want us to do is, during our small group time, to try and write those down and to focus on Psalm 139. But after we've finished our groups, we'll have a time to come back here, and Ali and myself will be able to answer any questions you have. So use your small group time just to look at Psalm 139, just to think through some of those principles that we've looked at from the Bible. And then after our small groups, you'll have a chance to ask any question that you like on this issue. All right? So, I know where we're going for this. Hang on. Let me do my groups. Girls, if you want to go into room one, that'd be great. All girls. Yeah, all girls. Because it's five of you. If you girls all go together. Older lads, why don't you stay here? And I'll take Bradley and Tom. And we'll go somewhere else. So you guys be back in about 10-ish minutes.